Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Genesis chapter 4. This morning our text is found in verses 16 through 24. As I continue preaching through the book of Genesis in these Sunday morning services. Today we come to Cainite civilization. Genesis 4, 16 through 24. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Our text describes what some have called the Cainite civilization. Cainite is not to be confused with the later people called the Canaanites. The Cainites were named after Cain, while the Canaanites were people native to the land of Canaan who lived after the flood. Our text this morning gives the history of the antediluvian or pre-flood civilization. Anti means before, and diluvian means the flood. So antediluvian means belonging to the period of time before the great flood in Noah's day. Now in this text we have a part of the history of this time before the flood. A part of the history of the two spiritual seeds prophesied in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The ungodly line and the godly line. The two seeds that are mentioned are the two seeds are seen in the two lines that are described in Genesis 4. The line of Cain and the line of Seth. Today, we have the history of the ungodly line, the seed of the serpent. Next week, the history of the godly line of Seth. Now, this history is condensed into just a few verses here. God's Word is very brief, but gives us sufficient details for us to clearly understand this history. Here we have the religious, social and moral condition of the antediluvian world as far as Cain's descendants are concerned. Here we have described the progress of sin that finally led to God's judgment in the flood. In this message, we shall look at seven characteristics of this antediluvian Cainite civilization. It's my prayer that we can learn some things for ourselves, make applications to our nation and our church and to ourselves as individuals in looking at these seven characteristics. The first characteristic of this Cainite civilization was turning away from God. Look at verse 16 here. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So here we learn what happened to Cain after he was cursed by God for the murder of Abel. He went out from the presence of the Lord. That has somber implications, doesn't it? For someone to go out from the presence of the Lord. The fact that he is said to have gone out, first of all, implies that there was a place where God was worshipped in those days. He went out from something. He went out from somewhere. It implies there was a place where God was worshipped. Look at verses 3 and 4 of this chapter, this fourth chapter. The word brought here also implies a place of worship. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The beginning of the development of this antediluvian civilization was Cain's departure from God. Cain went out. He turned away from God and from religion. He no longer worshipped God. This was to be a culture without God. That is the culture that descended from him. There is no mention of God in connection with this culture. There is no mention of the fear of God or his service in connection with these Cainites. This was a humanistic culture without God. Our nation today has done the same thing. Our humanistic culture has officially kicked God out of the schools and out of the government, and our entertainment industry in Hollywood mocks God and glorifies sin against Him. The place called hell is pictured here in Cain's going out from the presence of the Lord. Hell is eternal separation from God. Now, the worst thing about hell is not even the fire. It is the eternal separation from God that those there will experience. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 describes hell when it speaks of lost people who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Those who turn away from God lay themselves open to all kinds of temptations and sin. And this is just what happened to Cain and his descendants. And my friends, this is just what has happened, what is happening in our country today. A second characteristic of this Cainite civilization was a population explosion and city building. We read about this in verses 17 through 22. First of all, verse 17a tells us about Cain's wife and Cain's son. Now, you know, this is a pain to me, but there are always those unbelievers that bring this up. No matter where we're trying to witness for Christ, sooner or later, unbelievers bring this up. So I will try to deal with it here. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. The question is, where did Cain get his wife? Unbelievers who write in or call in ask this question more than just about any other question. Well, where did Cain get his wife? Like, that's the end of the Bible right there. Can't believe the Bible because Cain didn't have anybody to marry. But, you know, the answer is easy for anyone who will read God's Word. There we find that all human beings are descendants of Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:20 says that Eve is the mother of all living. And Genesis 5:4 tells us that Adam and Eve, quote, begat sons and daughters, unquote. Both plural. Therefore, Cain must have married his sister here. How else could the population of this world gotten started up? Now, you may still have a problem with that. Well, it's not right for a man to marry a sister or a sister to marry a brother. At that time, however, there was nothing wrong with a brother marrying his sister. God did not give the law against marrying brothers and sisters and cousins and in-laws until much later during the time of Moses. Look at Leviticus 18, 6 and 9. Leviticus 18, 6 and 9. This is where God made it against His law and thus immoral for brothers to marry sisters. Verse 6 of Leviticus 18. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And then verse 9. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Before God's law was given to Moses, remember that was about 1450 B.C. But before that, about 600 years before that, Abraham, in about 2000 B.C., married Sarah. Did you know that Sarah was Abraham's half-sister? It says that. And yet God did not condemn him for marrying her. Now, just to throw something else in free here, Henry Morris pointed out that this is before the gene pool was really corrupted. When there was no insanity or anything that resulted from this that early in the human gene pool. Well, Cain's son was named Enoch. But let us not mistake this Enoch for the godly Enoch whom Genesis 5:22 says walked with God. Verse 17b of our text says that Cain built a city and named it after Enoch, his son. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. This is a significant factoid of that, the history of that Cainite civilization. Why did he build a city? Cain's building a city was rebellion against the curse that God had placed on him for his murder of his brother. Remember, God had condemned Cain in Genesis 4:11 and 12 to be a wanderer and a fugitive, or a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. But instead, Cain built a city in which he could settle down. Cain defied God by building this city. It is significant to note here that Cain built a city. Cain went out and built the city, but Abraham lived in tents looking for a city, according to Hebrews 11, 10, and 16. Let's turn and read those two verses, Hebrews 11, 10 and 16. Cain built the city, but Abraham spent his life living in tents looking for a city. Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city, that is Abraham, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. We're looking for that city. John Bunyan called it the celestial city, if you remember our study in Sunday school of that. Heaven. Cain's descendants are listed and described in verses 18 through 22. Of this text. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, and instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now here we have Cain's family tree. The descendants of Cain, the murderer of the righteous. Here we are told of seven generations in Cain's family. Cain, Enoch, Irad, Mahujael, Methusael, Lamech, and then the generation of the three sons of Lamech, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. Seven generations. Cain and his descendants increased on the earth. There was a rapid growth in population at that time. As a matter of fact, I have read statistics by Christian creationists who estimate that there could have been up to 7 billion people on the earth by the time of the flood. You just figure 7 generations and how many, if each family had 6 children, just 6. And those, in Bible times, they had 12 and 13. But just 6 children in each family, just multiply that and it just explodes. A third characteristic of this Cainite civilization was their sin against marriage. In verse 19, "And Lamech took unto him 2 wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah." Lamech had 2 wives, and thus Lamech was a bigamist. A bigamist means 2 wives or 2 husbands. He was also a polygamist. That means more than 1 wife. You could call him either one. His taking of 2 wives was a great sin. It was a clear assault on God's clear teaching about marriage being between 2 people, 1 man and 1 woman for life, of which we read in Genesis 2:24. Look at that. Just a little bit before our text in Genesis, we have God's law of marriage. Genesis 2:24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Lamech broke that law of marriage. He had 2 wives. But from the beginning, it was not so, to use the words of the Lord Jesus in another context. Look what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 19, 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Lamech gloried in his bigamy rather than being ashamed of it. You notice how these Hollywood movie stars glory in how many wives or how many husbands they've had? At last count, I think, of course, I'm from an older generation. Nobody will even know who Mickey Rooney is or was. But Mickey Rooney was married, as far as we know, 7 times. Maybe more than that. Lamech gloried in his bigamy rather than being ashamed of it. During this time, there was growing sexual sin among the Cainites. And it finally brought down the judgment of God. Many in our country today, perhaps the majority now, live together unmarried or in so-called same-sex relationships. This past week, the U.S. Supreme Court okayed same-sex marriages in open rebellion against God's law of marriage. As reported by one commentator, Judge Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion, called those who opposed this same-sex marriage bigots and said they were guilty of hatred. To show how far gone this country is in this rebellion against God, the National Council, or rather the National Cathedral church, an Episcopal church in Washington, D.C., rang its bells for nearly an hour in celebration of this wicked ruling on the day that it came down. In this rejection of God's law of marriage, listen, my friends, our culture is now lower than that of the Cainites. Nothing mentioned about homosexuals there, just bigamy. Our culture's lower than that. And let me just throw this in free. I want to echo what Dr. Moeller says in the article in our bulletin today. We are not going to change God's definition of marriage no matter what the United States Supreme Court or the President of the United States says. We are not going to do that. I will not perform that kind of ceremony. A fourth characteristic of the Cainite civilization was advances in agriculture and wealth. Look at verse 20. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Jabal was the father of those who have cattle. This involved breeding, raising, and developing livestock. The word cattle here includes more animals than just cows. We think, I know that's a greenhorn word for cattle, but it's more than just cows. The word cattle includes several domestic animals such as sheep, cows, camels, asses, horses, and goats. If you'd like to see an example of this in the Scriptures, Exodus 9:3 uses the term cattle to include these other animals as well as cows. Now, in Bible times, ownership of such cattle was considered great wealth. You know, I've forgotten how many sheep was it that Job had. Was it 7,000? And Abraham had much cattle. Thus, these were rich men by biblical standards. And this Jabal also invented the tent to be able to carry his home with him in caring for his livestock. I love to camp out. Don't do it very much anymore. Used to. One time we went to Yellowstone. We took this tent, and it was, boy, it had a floor in it. It had mosquito netting or that kind of mesh between the rooms and everything. Man, it was great. And it was just like carrying your home with you. And especially after we got those air mattresses we really roughed it. But this man invented a way to carry his home with him in caring for his livestock. Now, a fifth characteristic of this Cainite civilization was advances in the arts and technology. Advances in the arts and technology. In this line of Cain, we find the invention of arts and crafts. First, there was the invention of music instruments in verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Jubal was the father of all who handle music instruments, both stringed instruments and wind instruments. The harp is a stringed instrument. The organ is a wind instrument. Jubal invented these instruments in order to enhance the joy of life. The world then and the world now sits spellbound, listening to the expression of what is in the hearts of the writer and players and singers of music. I'm grateful for this wonderful gift from God, called music. Many of us love to go to concerts of decent music. This is one of God's great gifts to man, and it can be used either for good or for evil. Music ought to be used for the worship of God. The regenerate heart plays and sings by faith and for God's glory. But the unregenerate heart expresses what is of sin and lust and the world in rebellion against God. The lustful pleasures of sin and immorality and the raucous and strident and thunderous notes of proud rebellion are expressed in today's rock and rap and country music. This music leaves God out altogether, as well as emphasizing and praising lust and licentiousness. There was also the invention of metallurgy, as we read in verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now this man invented tools and implements of iron and brass. Obviously these things could increase the creature comforts in this world. These implements were useful both in war and in peace. Tubal-Cain was the father of metalwork. It's interesting, the Greeks had their Vulcan, who was the god of metalwork. That was Satan's counterfeit of Jubal, probably. Tubal-Cain was an instructor of every artificer or craftsman in brass and iron. Now, the fact that they had these instruments of brass and iron and they had men who were craftsmen in it, in these metals, presupposes that these metals were mined and smeltered and molded and shaped into tools and implements. And so, this statement implies a whole lot of things. Thus, Cainite civilization learned of and profited from artistic and technological advances. And all of these inventions raised the standard of living for the Cainites. The population began to increase, and so did the technological and cultural level of the Cainite civilization. Now, let me hasten to say that all of these things were not sinful in themselves. You know, music is a great thing, as I said. It's not sinful. Music is not sinful in itself. All of these things can be used for good purposes, but they can easily become an end in themselves and can even be a means of further rebellion against God. Art is not wrong. You know, what's wrong is that they've come up with modern art and all this impressionism and all of this other stuff. Art is not wrong. Modern art has been perverted. Technology is not wrong. Aren't you grateful that many of you are sitting there this morning reading the text on your iPhone, reading the scriptures, I hope, on your iPhone? Technology is not wrong. But these things must not become an end in themselves. Cain's descendants were advanced and progressive in the things of this world, and they had a materialistic and carnal philosophy of life. That's where they went wrong. They were celebrating life in this world. Their entire efforts went into making this world rich, beautiful, and pleasant, and useful, and convenient. These were men whose glory was the glory of this world. They were utterly unconcerned about God and His will. They were of the world and for the world, and the love of God was not in them. This line of Cain made great progress in earthly things, but none in spiritual things. This world was their only concern. The portion of Cain's descendants was here below. They had no thought of the coming seed who would save men from their sin. They had no bloody sacrifice pointing toward the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for sin. I wonder this morning, do you have such a sacrifice? The result of the invention and development of these things was to increase sin and corruption. Their world was progressive, cultured, and enterprising, but at the same time it was godless, wicked, and arrogant. From here on, wickedness increased until, as Genesis 6:13 says, the earth was filled with violence, and its measure of iniquity was filled up. The Cainites closely resembled the people in the nations of the world today. As a matter of fact, some commentators say that the Cainites picture a cycle that continually repeats itself through the history of man. Look what man does with our great technology today. Well, I love those. I love computers. I don't know how. I fought against them as an old non-progressive person 20 years ago. Now I can't do without one. I love them. God gave us those computers to be used for His glory, like sermon audio and church websites and things like that. Emails to our unsaved friends. But look what man does with our great technology today. Filthy movies. Filthy TV shows. Dirty books. Raunchy music. Violent video games. Boats and cars used in racing and fishing on God's holy day. Present things fill the heads and hearts of most people today, even many professing Christians. Today's evolutionists picture early man as savage hunter-gatherers living in caves with a few crude tools and being very stupid. You know, I remember my high school textbooks in biology and zoology, they'd picture a Neanderthal man as looking like he was about 3 bricks shy of a load. Just look stupid looking beast. A brute. That's the way evolutionists picture early man. The biblical account of early man, however, is far different. Man began as a perfect creature with a great intellect and having the gift of human language. Adam had a vast vocabulary, such a vast vocabulary that he was able to name all of the animals, as we read in Genesis 2:20. How would you like to get that assignment, name all the animals? He did it in one day, right there on that first day. From our text, we understand that the earliest men had a high degree of technology. God's Word describes early man as building cities and farming and domesticating animals and having metallurgy and musical instruments. And our text tells us that before the flood, man reached a high level of civilization and culture. He achieved great things. Cavemen and savages do not build cities. Sometime shortly after this, Noah was told to build a ship whose dimensions were similar to those of the mighty oil tankers of the 21st century. This presupposes knowledge of mathematics, the use of tools, and advanced understanding of construction techniques. How else could a boat like that have been built? There were no doubt savages and cave dwellers at that time, just as there are today. You know, you can go to places on this earth, you can find those people. But they were a minority and they were on the fringe of mankind according to the Bible's description of early men. Early man was neither primitive nor stupid. A sixth characteristic of Cainite civilization was vengeance and murder. As we read in verses 23 and 24 of this fourth chapter of Genesis. Here we have presented a fragment of a song Lamech sang to his wives, Ada and Zillah. Look at verses 23b and 24. And I'm going to read this as it can be literally translated. Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man for wounding me, and a young man for bruising me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly, Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, I did not know until studying for this message that that was a song. That's a poem. It's a verse. But sure enough, this song was a blasphemous outburst against God. Its thrust was murder and revenge. It glorified murderous deeds. Lamech felt no remorse for his sin. He bragged about it to his wives. So much so that he wrote a song to do so. Now, it's a common thing for cruel and bloody men to glory in their shame. Paul describes this in Philippians 3:19. Let's turn to that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. It's a common thing for cruel and bloody men to glory in their shame. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Lamech's singing this song to his wives indicates that they must have been of a kindred spirit with him, given to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Now then, today's popular music many times glorifies murder. I know that old people like me don't listen to rock music and rap music. Brother, it hurts my ears. I hate to go to some filling stations because those guys pull in there and they roll all the windows down and they crank that thing up as loud as it'll go. But that's where I've heard this rap music. It glorifies murder many times. Did you know that? Think of some of these so-called rap songs. I've heard them. These songs urge listeners to shoot a cop or kill a cop. Murder characterizes our American cities today. Barack Obama's hometown of Chicago is the murder capital. But all of our major cities are filled with murder today. The seventh characteristic of Cainite civilization, as described in this text, is spiritual perversion. As we read in verse 24, Lamech was the sixth generation from Adam, and by his time things had really deteriorated spiritually and morally. Lamech knew that if anyone would kill Cain, he would be severely punished. And so he infers from this that if anyone should kill him for his murders, he should be much more avenged. Lamech, therefore, had a perverted spiritual perception as well as being impenitent and unhumbled before God. Today's cults and ecumenical movement and postmodern religion are nothing else but spiritual perversion in our day. So in conclusion, in this Cainite civilization, we have the father of shepherds and cattle and ranchers, the father of musicians, and the father of technology, but no father of the faithful, as Abraham would later be called. The line of Cain here in our text can be properly summarized, I believe, in the words of Psalm 37:35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And we can say that today in our American culture as well. Genesis 6:5 is describing this time of the Cainite civilization when it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Cain's line is shown to be full of wickedness, ripe for judgment, and finally was destroyed in the flood. The history of Cain's line is a snapshot, as I said earlier, of all human history. Our text gives a clear description of the ungodly, humanistic culture of all generations. For the most part, our nation today would fit right in with the Cainite civilization. As a result, my friends, at the risk of being considered a negative person, as a result, there is nothing left but a certain fearful looking for of judgment by us. We can only cry out to God for mercy from the judgment that is coming. What will happen to you, my friend, when this judgment falls? And it will fall. If God's word is true, judgment is coming on this wicked world. What's going to happen to you when His judgment falls? Will you be sent down to hell with the Cainite civilization? Or will you be safe in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation? Would you trust in Him today? Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for what You've shown us in Your Word about those that awful time in Cainite civilization. And Father, especially we are grieved and we are alarmed when we see how closely our civilization is patterned after that one in the generations of Cain. We do pray that You would have mercy on us, that You'd have mercy on our nation, that You would turn us back to You. But more important than that, we pray that You would have mercy on sinners here today, that You would save them before it's everlastingly too late, that they would turn from their sins and turn to Christ and trust in Him for eternal salvation. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name and for His sake.